from his point of view, didn't really understand. He was perplexed by the prosperity of the wicked. He saw wicked, evil people getting away with their deeds. He didn't understand it. He was puzzled. He was stumbled. But in verse 17, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. When Asaph started to consider God's point of view on the prosperity of the wicked, then he understood God's dealings with the ungodly. Up to this point, up to verse 17, Asaph hasn't considered God's viewpoint on the wicked, the prosperity of the wicked. And starting in verse 18, he gives us some characteristics of the wicked, the condition they are in as far as God is concerned. In verse 18, for instance, he says, surely thou dost set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. Slippery places, in other words, dangerous places. Even though the wicked were prospering, God had set their souls for destruction. The wicked, evil people, at one point or another, at some time or another, they were going to have to contend with a righteous and holy God. God had set them in slippery places. And you and I understand, as we look out into the world today, that there's, as I said last week, that, you know, there's a lot of evil, wicked people in the world, and they're doing horrible, terrible things. Many of these people think they're going to get away with what they're doing. How foolish, how tragic, and how sad that point of view is. They will have to contend with God someday. He says also in verse 19, How are they brought into desolation as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? The downfall of the wicked will be swift, and it will be quick, and it will be sure. And we see that Asaph uses that phrase, they will be consumed with terrors. You know, God's judgment on the wicked is so sure that when it happens, the ungodly will be so terrified at the horrible result of their wickedness. Their souls are set for destruction as far as God is concerned. And furthermore, in verse 20, Asaph says, as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. You know, a dream lasts a relatively short time. And then it's over, and then it vanishes away. Dreams aren't real. But as far as the wicked are concerned, when the life of the wicked is over, it's like a dream, and they wake to find out they must face God, the same God that they have mocked and despised for their life, for their whole life. And it reminds me, there are a lot of people out there, especially in this country, who consider themselves atheists. If you read about these people, you'll see that they're becoming more and more aggressive. There are many atheists who celebrate their atheism. They've written books. They've become best-selling authors. They debate other people in public about the existence of God and about evil and wickedness in the world. And they will make no bones about it, how they feel about God. They will blaspheme God. They will say terrible things against God's people. But, you know, the people who do that, they're living in a dream world, brother, sister in Christ. They're going to wake up one of these days, and they're going to find that God has put them in a slippery place. And they're going to wake up to the fact that they will have to contend with that holy and righteous God whom they have despised and mocked so many years. But we see in verse 21, as Asaph continues, now, he's speaking about himself in verse 21. He says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Asaph literally had his heart, the word is soured in the original. He was embittered in his heart when he saw the prosperity of the wicked and the fact that they weren't brought to justice. He felt miserable. He felt wretched in his soul because of that. It had gotten to that point in his life. And he says in verse 21 that he was pricked in my reins. The Amplified Bible says, renders that, I was pricked in my heart as with the sharp fangs of an adder. Now, if you don't know what an adder is, it's a highly, very highly poisonous snake. And if you're bitten by one of those, you die. You don't get sick, you die. And the people in the Middle East, in Israel, around in that area, they understood the danger of being bitten by an adder. Asaph said that he was pricked in his heart as with the sharp fangs of an adder. In today's parlance, Asaph was snake bit, if you want to say that. Call it that. And we see that Asaph was looking at the wicked and the prosperity of the wicked, the ungodly people, who are apparently getting away with all their crimes against God. And his heart was so struck by that. His heart was so grieved by that, that it was like his heart was pricked by a poisonous snake. And we see in verse 22, he says, He's recalling some of the thoughts that he has in verse 22. He says, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." Asaph uses three words in there, foolish, ignorant, and beast, to describe his attitude. First of all, as far as being foolish is concerned, you know, Asaph's thinking was that the wicked would continue to prosper without being held accountable. And we understand how foolish that is. He also said that he was ignorant. In other words, Asaph did not understand the workings of God. Asaph did not understand how God Asaph didn't understand how God would deal or dealt with the wicked and the ungodly. He says that he was as a beast before God. He had the attitude of an animal that had no understanding. You know, animals don't think and reason as humans do. They act on instinct, you see. When he was thinking about the prosperity of the wicked, Asaph had the attitude and the viewpoint of a dumb beast, you see. He called himself, or he said his point of view was foolish and ignorant. And here in verse 22, I think we see something of Asaph's, of the Spirit of God working in his heart and revealing these things to him, that he comes to the point in verse 22 that, yes, Lord, I was foolish. And yes, Lord, I was ignorant. And yes, Lord, I was like a beast before you. And you see that Asaph is starting to look at the prosperity of the wicked from God's point of view. Now, in verses 23 through 28, he brings the Lord into the picture in these verses, in the last remaining verses. In verse 23, he says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden, or held, me by my right hand." It was God that held him up and kept him from slipping. In verse 2, Asaph said that, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. But God had held Asaph by his hand. Thou hast held me by my right hand. God prevented Asaph from slipping, his heart and his mind. And in verse 23, Asaph said, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." We see that the Lord was always present with Asaph, even during this dark time of discouragement and this time when he had the incorrect viewpoint of the prosperity of the wicked. Even during those times, God was with Asaph. And we see in verse 24, and he's speaking about the Lord in verse 24, he says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." The Lord would guide and counsel Asaph. And in the first half of the psalm, as I said before, Asaph did not seek the Lord's guidance or his counsel, but he relied on his own thinking and his own reasoning when he saw how the wicked had prospered. But we see now that Asaph is starting to look at these things from God's point of view. And at the end of verse 24, he understands that when his time is up, when his time of living here in this life is up, he will be received into glory. Asaph looked forward to the day when he would be in the Lord's presence. And brother and sister in Christ, are we not looking forward to the same thing? Are we not looking forward to the Lord coming back? Are we not looking forward, if we were to, our physical bodies were to die in this life, would we be in the presence of our God? Asaph had that hope in his heart, and he was looking forward to that time. And he says in verse 25, he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." There is one in heaven that gave Asaph's life stability compared to the ungodly and the wicked, and that was God. So Asaph is saying here, who is there in all the host of heaven on whom I can rely except my God? And we look out into the world and think about this for a little bit. You and I, if we were in this condition before we knew our Savior, who would we depend upon? Can you think of unsaved people lying on a hospital bed dying of cancer? Who are they going to depend on? Who are they going to trust? Who are they going to cry out to? We have our God. We have our Savior. And Asaph knew that in verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's nobody else that Asaph could depend upon. And brother, sister in Christ, when we're hurting, when we're in pain, when we're grieving, who else can we depend on? Who else can we look to? Who else can give us strength and encouragement when we need it? Who can do that? No human being can do that for us. There's only one person, and that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says further in verse 26, he says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Asaph's physical body could fail. His will, his intellect, his emotions, that is, his heart, they could fail. But God will never fail Asaph. Never. I have a question for you. If God will not fail Asaph, would God ever fail us? We all know the answer to that question, don't we? You and I often fail God many times, even as believers. But we have that wonderful knowledge that God will never fail us. He's always there for us. He's always there to give us understanding, to give us wisdom, to give us counsel, to give us encouragement and strength. And that's the same God that Asaph was looking to. And he says in verse 27, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish, but thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee." And we understand, you know, the wicked, God will send the wicked. Brother, sister in Christ, we have to understand this, that someday God is going to send the wicked down to destruction. He will destroy them. They may be riding high today in this life, but someday the wicked will be bought. They will be bought down, and they will fall. And I don't say that with glee. I say that sadly, that the wicked will find that there's a righteous, holy God who they will have to answer to. And we understand that too. And finally, in verse 28, we see, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." James says in his epistle, if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And Asaph is saying pretty much the same thing in verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." You know, the closer we get to God, and in Asaph's case, I think this applies, the more that Asaph, the closer he got to God, the more he could see his life from God's point of view. And isn't that true for us? Isn't it true that the closer we get to our God, that when the time comes, and times will come in our life when we are puzzled and perplexed and we don't understand what's going on in our life. Lord, why is all this stuff going on in my life? If we're close to God, He will give us that understanding. Because God cares for you and me, and He loves us. And we see in verse 28, I have put my trust in the Lord God. Asaph's trust and confidence was totally and completely in the Lord. And brother, sister in Christ, isn't that what we're supposed to do too? You know, if we see the prosperity of the wicked, and there's a lot of that going on. Now, we have to understand, you and I understand, that the wicked don't get away with, they don't get away with everything. You know. There are plenty of evil, wicked people that are in jail or in prison. And we understand that many times they are brought to justice. But from Asaph's point of view, he was looking at, from his own human reasoning, Asaph saw the prosperity of the wicked, that the wicked were getting more and more wealthy, and they were these wonderful, great things were happening to them. And he just didn't understand. He was puzzled. He was stumbled at that. But here at the very end of the psalm, in verse 28, he says, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all my works. And this is what Asaph is doing right now. He is declaring the marvelous, amazing works of God in this psalm. Finally, Asaph has realized that he had been wrong all this time. And isn't it true that we have a merciful and compassionate God? That if we get off the track, if we get off track in our thinking, if we get off track in our lives as believers, we have a merciful and compassionate God who will bring us back. He won't cast us out. That's the kind of God that we have. And I think that's the end of the message tonight. I hope this study in this psalm has been profitable. I urge you also to read Psalm 37. It has many of the same thoughts as Psalm 73. Just reverse the letters, reverse the numbers, 7337. And I think if you'll read that psalm, you'll also see some similar spiritual truth in that also. And I believe and I hope that Michael has some prayer requests tonight.